We said last week we're going to take a several-week break from our study on the tabernacle until after Easter, then we'll come back to that. I want you to turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you will, please. And my memory is horrible, so I have maybe shared this passage with you before, I don't know, but if we have, we're going to remember your instructions. Act like you've never heard it before. But it's truth we need. Because the reality of it is, in pretty much every church that's meeting right now, including this one, there are those who walk through those doors pretty faithfully every Sunday, will make their way to the seat they always sit in every Sunday, and go through the motions, look the part, but the fact is they're playing a game, and they're losing. Acting like they belong to God, acting like they're a child of God, but they've never by faith received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. That may be you right now. Fooling a lot of people, but you're not fooling God. And you need a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, period. Most important decision you're ever going to make in your life. And nobody else can make that decision for you. And it has to be a reality for you. But then as we make that decision, as we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, the next natural step should be a desire for His Word. A desire to put God's Word in our hearts and our minds. And that's what this passage in Deuteronomy talks about, is Moses was instructed by God to teach the people. Look at Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9. It says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his, keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." We're going to notice three things from this passage this morning. Number one is simply do the word. Do the word. Notice what God instructed Moses. Look at the first three verses again. It says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in a land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey." Moses said, "I've been commanded by God to teach you these truths. You have been commanded to do them." Moses wasn't commanded to make them. He couldn't do that. They were simply commanded, "All right, here's God's truth. Now obey it. Put it into practice. This is God's word. Now do it." That commandment is still alive for you and me today. I could give you a lot of New Testament principles to back that up, but I don't need to because you know that's a reality. We are to know the Word of God, and we are to obey and do the Word of God. It's as basic as it gets. Here's God's truth. Now simply go through the motion. I've shared with you, I can't tell you how many times I've had people come into my office and say, "Pastor, I know what the Bible says, but..." No. You know what the Bible says, now do it. Put it into practice, obey it, even though it's not what you want to do, even though it's not the easiest thing to do, do the Word of God. You know, We are to teach the commandments of God. We are to teach the statutes of God. That's what's to still happen today. When I stand in this pulpit, it is my responsibility, and I hope I do this to the best of my ability, to teach you God's truth and God's word. Yes, I'm going to give you illustrations, and I'm going to give you personal stories that sort of make it a little more relevant and try and apply it a little better and easier. But if it becomes all my opinions and my thoughts and my plans and my words, it's not worth your time or mine. You know, don't come. When you go to Sunday school class, your teacher better be prepared to share God's truth, share God's word, to instruct and instill that truth in us. You know, why do we teach? Why do we go to church? You can give me a lot of different reasons, but the bottom line is, and the most basic thing is, so that we can know God's word better and we can put it into practice. We can know God's truth and we can do it. Now, Israel received some promises. It says, if you will do these things, you're going to be blessed. If you will do these things, your days may be prolonged. And, you know, blessings always follow obedience. Understand that truth. Blessings always follow obedience. And we sometimes come to verses like this and we want to make a big deal out of it, and it's God's truth, and I don't want to minimize that in any way, but like in verse 2 when he says that your days may be prolonged or that you will multiply greatly, or we come to a verse that says, children, obey your parents in the Lord that your days may be long. That's a great truth, but it's bottom line common sense, and God's teaching us that. If I obey my parents, I'm going to live longer. Because I'm not going to play in the street. You know, I'm not going to drink bleach because it's a liquid. You know, I'm going to do certain things and I'm going to live longer. If I obey God's command, I'm not going to face his discipline and his judgment and his chastisement, because he doesn't have to. He's going to do the little things to direct me, not the big things to slap me upside the head. It's bottom line common sense. If we do the things he tells us to do, it's going to benefit us. It's going to help us, and it's going to affect those around us. Now, in verse 3, Moses said that God had promised to bless them in a land flowing with milk and honey. But they better live up to their end of the bargain. Do the word of God. Obey the word of God, and you will be blessed. They were going to enter a land that had a lot of blessings, but they were going to enter a land that had a lot of snares that could trip them up as well. Now, that's good advice for us, because as we obey God and his word, he's going to bless us. And that blessing may come in different ways. For us, a lot of times we think, God, I want you to bless me, and we think bigger, better, newer. Right? I want the shiny things. That shows God's blessing me. Well, maybe God's blessing me with health. Maybe God's blessing me with a loving family. Maybe God's blessing me with a long life. It may be God's blessing me with the chance for overtime so I can pay the bills. It may not be the new and the bigger and the shinier that God lavishes his blessing on us. But when God's blessings come, Satan's schemes a lot of times aren't far behind. And when God brings more, that seems to open the door for more temptations, more struggles, and more difficulties. And the only way we're going to continue to be able to do the word is to stand firm on that bedrock of the word of God. Listen to the teachings of the word of God. Put them into practice. Moses taught the people because their obedience was going to affect all of the Israelites. You know, much like our obedience or disobedience affects others. It doesn't just affect us. It affects our families. It affects the church family at Three Rivers Bible Church. It affects the body of Christ. Blessings always follow obedience, but consequences always follow disobedience. And as children of God, we need to pay attention to what Moses told the Israelites. Do the word. Do the word. And then in verses 4 and 5, number 2, devour the God of the word. Devour the God of the word. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Verse 4 was a crucial verse for the Jew. And the devout Jew would say that at least twice a day. The Lord is one. And it was a reminder that there is one God, and so I don't need to follow idols. I don't need to go any other direction because there is only one God and He's all I need. And I need to focus on God and He needs to be my focus. For us, that's not news. We know that. Jehovah God that the Israelites served is Jehovah God that I serve. He is my Abba. He is my Father. You know, He is the eternally existent one and self-existent, self-sufficient, the only true and living God. Matthew Henry writes this in his commentary, it's better to have one fountain than 1,000 cisterns, one all-sufficient God than 1,000 insufficient ones. Now, verse 5 is a principle that is repeated in the New Testament. When the Pharisee came to Jesus Christ, and he tried to trip him up, and you don't need to turn there, but in several passages in the New Testament, and in Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 34, it says, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. Mark chapter 12 shared the same thing. Luke chapter 10 shared the same thing. So what was Israel's relationship to the Lord to be? They were to love Him completely. Devour Him. Give everything to Him. Have that all-consuming love. He's calling Israel to a complete commitment. 100% devotion to God. The totality of our commitment of self. You know, we are committed to a lot of things. And our focus and our attention are there. Maybe our workplace. Maybe it's our home, our family, a friendship. We find ourselves completely devoted and we think about those things all the time. Seldom are we that committed to God. Seldom are we that sold out. Do we love Him with all our soul, with all our mind, with our might, with all our being, with everything we have? We are to give ourselves passionately and completely to God. And when we don't do that, we forfeit blessings. We don't have some of those things that God wants to give us. And we miss out on some of those things in life. So Moses is instructing the people, says, do the word. In essence, he says, devour the God of the Word. And the third thing, demonstrate the Word. Demonstrate the Word. Look at verses 6 through 9. It says, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. When something is on your heart, verse 6, these words which I'm commanding today shall be on your heart. When something is on your heart, it's something you think about. It's something you dwell on. It's something that's there throughout the day. You know, something you can't really get rid of, even if you want to. It's on your heart. And, you know, a lot of times those are bad things that are there and negative things that we can't get relief from. And so we tend to focus on them and dwell on them all day throughout the day. But he says that is to be where we're at with our relationship with God. And the relationship with God's Word. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. Again, Matthew Henry writes this. He said, though the words alone without the things will do us no good, yet we are in danger of losing the things if we neglect the words by which ordinarily divine light and power are conveyed to the heart. We have to put God's Word in our hearts. We have to be passionate about the Word of God. We have to. That's why we've talked about it's so important to have the Word of God in our hearts and our minds early in the morning so that I can dwell on that throughout the day, so that I can focus on His truth and His instructions, His statutes, and His commandments. If we obey verse 6, God's Word and God are on our hearts, verses 7 through 9 are going to come naturally. It's going to be a part of who we are. Now, what is Moses describing in verses 7 through 9? When he says, teach them diligently to your sons. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. So clearly, Moses is teaching us that all of us need to have about 8 different pulpits in our home. And so when we go home and my family goes home, we're going to stop at the living room and I'm going to preach to them from the pulpit before we take our shoes off. And then we're going to move into the kitchen, and as Christy finishes up the dinner, then I'm going to preach to my family before we eat our meal. And then I'm going to move into the living room again. We're going to preach before we can turn on the TV and watch the NCAA tournament. You know, and as Zell gets ready for bed tonight, I'm going to stand in the doorway of the bathroom as she's brushing her teeth, and I'm going to preach to her. And I'll follow that pulpit into the bedroom, and I'm going to preach to her before. Obviously, that's not what Moses is saying. He's not telling us that's what we are to do, but he's saying that we need to know God's word so well that it's part of our everyday conversation. It just naturally comes up that we talk about God and his word. We talk about his truth. You know, when you are in a relationship with someone, you can't help but tell others about them. Christy naturally comes up in a lot of conversations I have. Elle comes up in a lot of conversations I have. You know, Pastor Jordan can attest to that. You know, I talk about my wife, I talk about my daughter a lot because they're a big part of my life and it's just a natural part of conversation. It's to be that way with God because I love him. Because I talk to him every day, because he's a part of who I am, it just is natural for me to talk about him. That's who we are to be, day in and day out in our everyday conversations. It doesn't have to be forced. You know, it should be part of the conversation where, you know what, I just have to share with you what God showed me in my quiet time this morning. It's a passage I've read 100 times, but just this really stuck out to me today, and this was just a promise God gave me, and I want to just share it with you. Hey, let me tell you about that. I've been praying about this for 3 months, and God clearly provided an answer today. I just can't help but share it with somebody. And just because of my relationship with God, it should be just a natural part of my everyday conversation. You know, where does he say this needs to happen? Wherever you go. Wherever you go. Notice what he says. When you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. I am to love God. I am to love his word so much, I can't help but tell others about him. It's very easy for us to talk about a lot of things. You know, we can sit and talk about the weather without any problem. And most of you will complain to me when it's cold and snowy, and I will tell you how great it is, and God's blessings are coming. We can talk about our jobs. I can talk to you for most of the afternoon about how my Michigan State Spartans got ripped off in the bracket they got put in, you know, and some of those things. You know, it's natural for us to talk about things. How often is it natural for us to talk about God and his word? Think back to this last week. How many of your conversations did you tell people about your relationship with God? How many of those conversations did you tell people about something he showed you in his word? Moses said, that's to be who we are. Because I love God, because I love his word, it's just a natural part of who I am. I think that is the secret to a church's success. A church that wants to be healthy, a church that wants to be successful, I think the bottom line is a commitment to the word of God. You can point to a lot of different things, but I think it's a commitment to the Word of God. I'm thankful that I grew up in a family where it was natural for us to talk about what the pastor preached on and what we learned in Sunday school. And even as a child, I remember Mom and Dad asking us questions, and so that caused us to pay attention a little bit more so that we can interact with them and share some of those things that the teacher was conveying to us. That God's word was instructed. That doesn't mean you're always going to agree. You know, that's okay. But is that everyday conversation part of the word of God? You know, when someone comes to your home, is it evident that you love God and his word? We had, when I was pastor at Deckerville, we had a young couple in church that Christy and I had gotten to know quite well, and I discipled him for a while, and Johnny and Randy. Randy was the wife, and when we'd go over to Johnny and Randy's house, wherever you went, Randy had verses around the house. If you went to a sink to wash your hands, I can pretty much guarantee there was a verse tucked in that mirror somewhere. If you went to the refrigerator to get a can of pop or something, there was a verse with a magnet holding it to the refrigerator door. It was evident everywhere. When Christy and I were moving here to Three Rivers and going through the house search and the house process, and we were extremely discouraged. And after our first trip, I remember Christy just crying on the way home. And it was a very frustrating process. And I remember we finally went through a home that we'd sort of eliminated from our list for a number of reasons. And it's the home we live in now. And when we went through that home, Kelly, I think Kelly was the name of the wife who lived there, there were verses in the kitchen that were pinned into the curtains. One in the bathroom, there were some verses. There was a Bible that was open on the dining room table. Now that was a message from God to me. And it was an encouragement to me. Since, notice, God has a sense of humor, and he didn't point out all the flaws of the house, but, you know, we're finding those out as we go. But just the verses, and just, we took a meal to my dad last night, and Christy did the dishes, and I was putting away some dishes, and I opened a cabinet, and Mom's been gone 4 years, and there's still some verses tucked in the cabinets there that Mom had there. You know, if you come to our home, you walk around, you're going to see Bibles in different places. You're going to see where our devotions are sitting in the living room, and you're going to see different things. And because the Word of God is a part of our home, part of our lives, it's part of who we are. And Christy and I, throughout the day, will talk about messages we've listened to on a podcast or what we read in the Bible and share some of those things together. It's supposed to be a part of our conversation, supposed to be part of who we are. If we want to be a successful church, if we want to be a healthy church, we have to treasure God's Word. And nobody can force that on you. You know, and if you're struggling with that, confess it to God and ask Him to give you a passion, to give you a desire for the Word of God, so that when you sit down and you spend time in His Word, it's not just a chore. It's not just drudgery, but it's, hey, God, I'm going to listen to what you have to say right now. What you want to teach me, I'm ready to learn. And I'm going to focus on what you have for me. We are to practice the Word of God. Jay Kessler is a man who has written a lot of books, especially a lot on counseling. And he was teaching at a Youth for Christ camp in Ohio. I'll just share a story. This was years ago. So this particular camp was in Ohio, and after one of the services, some kids had come forward to the altar. And one young woman was having a difficult time, so the counselors asked me if I would speak to her. We sat down in the front row of the chapel, and through many tears, her heartbreaking story began to unfold. She'd been molested by her own father about 3 times a week since she was 4 years old. She never told anyone about this and carried a great sense of guilt as though she were to blame for her father's actions. As she told me the story, I noticed that both of her wrists were scarred. If you work with young people today, you will see those marks often. Tell me about your wrists. Well, I tried to kill myself. Well, why didn't you do it? I asked. Killing yourself is a relatively simple thing if you really want to do it. If it's just a bid for attention, the attempt is usually feeble. She said, well, I got to thinking, we have a youth pastor at our church. Oh no, I thought, now I'm going to hear an ugly story about her getting involved with some youth pastor. But that wasn't it at all. She said he'd just gotten married before he came to our church, and I'd been watching him. When he's standing in line in church, right behind his wife, he squeezes her right in the church. They look at each other, and they hug each other right in our church. One day I was standing in the pastor's study and looking out the window, and the youth pastor walked his wife out into the parking lot. There was only one car in the parking lot, nobody was around, and nobody was looking. That guy walked all the way around the car and opened the door and let her in. Then he walked all the way around and got in himself. And there was nobody even looking. It's a nice story, I thought, but it couldn't really make the connection between that and her problem of incest or attempted suicide. So I asked why this seems so significant to her, and she said, well, I just got to thinking that all men must not be like my dad, huh? I said, you're right. All men are not like your father. Jay, do you suppose our youth pastor's a Christian? I said, yeah, I think he probably is. Well, that's why I came tonight. I want to be a Christian too. Why did she want to be a Christian? Because she saw a man being affectionate and respectful to his wife when he thought nobody was looking. That's the power of a consistent life. I am supposed to love God and His Word so much that it's a natural part of my life. And I live it out even when I think nobody's looking. It's supposed to be who I am. As a child of God, that's supposed to be who you are. If you love the Lord, if you're a child of God, live like it. Father, help us to be obedient to you. Most of us know your word, at least enough of it that we know what we're supposed to be doing and what we're supposed to be saying and how we're supposed to live. And Lord, a lot of times we let you down, we fail, we sin. Forgive us. And Lord, help us to develop that passion. Help us to be believers who do the word. Help us to be believers who devour you, have that all-consuming love for you. Help us to be believers who demonstrate your word. And that's going to look different for different people. But most of us need to make some changes. Most of us need to confess some sin. Most of us need to deal with some things. And we need to apologize because we haven't been where we need to be. We haven't been what you've called us to be. Lord, may we be committed to you. May we love you passionately. And may it be seen in our lives. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name.